This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. And today we have a special episode for you. In addition to hearing from our usual market commentators, trader Nick and Oanda financial writer Christian Norman, joining us today is Nelly Novotna, performance psychologist and head of performance coaching at FTMO. While most of our guests focus on market trends and economic data, Nelly focuses exclusively on the person behind the screen. And as a specialist in the psychology of performance, she helps professionals recognize behavioral patterns, manage their emotions, and build the mental resilience required to perform consistently in high-pressure environments. So firstly, hello, Nelly. How are you doing? Great to have you as our special guest.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's almost as good to speak to our usual guests, Trader Nick and Christian Norman. Hello again, guys.
Hi, Johnny. Great to be here.
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Christian. Hi, Nelly.
Now, before we get the chance to speak to Nelly, we must first, of course, get the latest from the markets. And Nick, obviously, the price of oil and inflation has dominated our conversations over the last few weeks because of the war in the Middle East. This is the first time, Nick, that we've spoken since the ceasefire started, so-called ceasefire between the USA and Iran. But markets remain pretty volatile, despite events being a bit calmer over the last few days. In fact, we've seen a bit of a rally in global equities and a cool-off in the dollar in recent days. So how are markets as we speak right now, Nick?
Yeah, so I think you set that up great, because when we look at markets in today's world, there is this surrounding question about how could possibly the stock markets of the world be back near their all-time highs? The dollar index has been on a losing streak now. Oil prices are much lower than where they were. And yet at the same time, you still have some of the same chess piece alignments in the Middle East with the Strait of Hormuz now blockaded twice by both the Iranians and the US. There is a lot of question marks about what's going on in the Middle East. However, we always talk about on the podcast, markets are very forward-looking. They're looking at what is coming around the corner, not necessarily what is hitting the news today. And so when we look at what seems to be the rumor right now, the old expression of buy the rumor, sell the news, that Wall Street expression kind of goes without saying here, because the rumor seems to be that there is some kind of a deal tentatively coming down the pipeline between the U.S., Iran, and also China. Actually, this morning, Trump made some comments in regards to, the Chinese are appreciating his efforts with the Strait of Hormuz, of course. We'll see how everything plays out. But we know that there is multiple parties at play here that have vested interests in finding some kind of a deal. The Iranians, of course, a huge amount of their income comes from the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. does not want a inflation problem. The U.S. administration does not want a popularity problem. And China does not want a disruption to their low-priced oil that they receive from the Iranians. So you put all this together and the market is kind of saying, okay, they're still talking. Trump has said such. The Pakistan meetup still seems to be ongoing. And so there is this promising, like, okay, there's still communication here. And meanwhile, there's been some other news that the market seems to be now rallying around. When we talk about risk assets, specifically like the stock market, one of the big positives has been upward revisions to earnings forecasts for the remainder of 2026. They've actually improved a lot in recent times. So we've seen earnings projections look good. We're going to hear from Christian in a moment from the banks. They seem to be putting out some good economic projections. And we had this week a much softer than expected or cooler than expected producer price index number. It came in at 4% year over year. I believe the forecast was 4.4%. So you have inflation holding together when that was like our worst fear, right? With this whole conflict, oil price spikes, it's going to very quickly turn into an inflation problem. And while it still could, there's still that possibility. We can't rule that out. Having a cooler than expected inflation print is a positive development. The dollar index is moving lower alongside the VIX as we see a little bit of expectation or optimism from the market that geopolitics are cooling off. I should also mention, just to cover our bases here, that we're not out of the woods just yet. There's no certainty of how things resolve in the Middle East. Things could kind of deteriorate, but the fact that both parties still are acknowledging to an extent that there is communications, that there is some willingness there for a possibility of a deal, the market is certainly optimistic on that front.
Excellent. And Christian, Nick alluded to the beginning of earnings season. What have we learned so far?
The real darling of earnings season so far, of course, has been Goldman Sachs. It's commonplace where we start the earnings season in earnest with banks. And Goldman Sachs is the darling, like I say, beating most estimates, as did JP Morgan, albeit by a slimmer margin. Wells Fargo as well. A bit of a mixed bag there. But so far, so good with earnings season. Of course, we do have Netflix later on this week as well, who are known to report quite early. Looking forward to next week. We've got some bigger names, Tesla and Intel as well. But I suppose expectations in the market at the moment are at highs, or so it certainly would seem so. So we've seen some examples already where, even though they're beating on both bottom and top line, some of these stocks, the forward guidance misses the mark, and the CEOs, the board, are being punished for their commentary within the forward guidance. If it doesn't meet exactly the expectations of the markets, markets are very quick to sell off with some of these stocks because of the current situation in the Middle East as well. There is a certain level of risk averseness there as well. But of course, not knowing what will happen the rest of the year, and with this geopolitical tensions mixed in as well, if the forward guidance isn't meeting expectations, even by 1%, we're seeing otherwise reasonable earnings reports, seeing quite large sell-offs in some of these stock prices as well.
So that is the latest from the markets. Let's now get the thoughts of our special guest, performance psychologist Nelly Novotná, head of performance coaching at FTMO. Nelly, can I first ask you about the human factor in data? Why is psychology often the sort of missing link for professionals who have all the right data, but still actually struggle with consistency?
I mean, like, the data and all this information, right, tells you what the market might do, but it's actually psychology that decides what you will actually do. It is kind of like when you are driving a car and you can have the perfect map, but if your hands are shaking, you cannot really drive, right? So trading is not just a math problem. It is a challenge for your nervous system, if that makes sense. So when your money is on the line and, you know, you start to feel somehow afterwards, because your brain may panic and it turns a logical cell, let's say, into a hope that you don't lose. So consistency doesn't really come from more data. It comes from staying calm when the market is not.
So this leads me on to ask the question, how can we identify the, let's call them, subconscious habits or emotional triggers that lead to, you know, what can be poor decision making?
So, I mean, like, I'm sometimes trying to explain to my clients that it's kind of like a poker. So you have to find your tells, like a poker player. Your body usually feels stressed before your mind notices it. And you can watch always for three things. So one of them is physical. So for example, like, are you holding your breath? Then emotional, of course, like, do you feel tight in your chest? And, you know, like, what is going on inside of you? And then behavioral. So for example, if you check your profit every 30 seconds, that is anxiety, that is not monitoring. And the moment you stop following your plan and start trying to stop, you know, the bad feeling, you have found your trigger.
As we were just intimating earlier on in the podcast, of course, we've been through a very busy period of high market volatility. And I think, Nick, you wanted to ask Nelly specifically about managing these sort of turbulent times, didn't you?
Yes, definitely. I think having your input, Nelly, would be great on this, because obviously we have a lot of people who listen to the podcast, and from Johnny and I's perspective, and Christian, you know, us covering the markets, there's been a lot of very dramatic headlines, and walking the fine line of, you know, covering this stuff and also watching the markets move so aggressively. I can imagine that a lot of listeners have struggled on the trading psychology side of things with the volatile headlines, the dramatic and very polarizing political headlines that you see during this time. I'm curious what you think, what kinds of tips you would give for traders who maybe struggle with the trading psychology side of things, given such crazy headlines and crazy times that we're living in. How can a trader better navigate that type of environment?
I mean, like, firstly, I can give you some sort of like a hex, but also, I mean, if you have like an opportunity to work with some like coach or, you know, like psychologist, I think it's always good, because you can kind of like find out the patterns inside of you, and, you know, you can kind of like find out what are the triggers exactly when it comes to you, and basically what I said, right? Like recognizing it. But what would be my hack for the listeners who may not have this option to actually like visit some of us, I would definitely say like having some sort of like if then plan. So basically having like an exact idea, like some sort of like a map for your trading as well. So for example, when you know that this is a trigger for you, let's say even when it comes to like the prices or, you know, like the level of the market, you know, maybe you're going to be like triggered, or maybe like by the, maybe you can be triggered by the pace of the market. Then I would say like have the plan, like have the exact plan of what you are supposed to do. And I'm telling to my clients very often, sometimes the best thing you can do is actually doing nothing. So if you're really emotional and really triggered, sometimes it's just the best way how to overcome it, just to like stay away and just like wait for another opportunity, if that makes sense.
I think it's a great answer, just to follow up on that, because when, as traders, we watch the financial markets, you hear a lot about like coming up with a trading strategy or coming up with an entry and exit strategy that you spend time testing, or even a risk management plan where you're going to, you know, look into that side of things. But I like the way that you talked about putting together a plan on the trading psychology side. Like, even though trading psychology is not a purely mechanical aspect, having the concept of having a mechanical strategy in place to check and balance yourself, I think that's a great point. So thanks for the answer.
Yeah, exactly as you're saying, Nick. So maybe Christian, do you have any experience with something like that? Like, have you ever worked with some sort of like plan like this before?
It's an interesting question, because in my very early days as a trader, I'm thinking a long, long time ago now, sometimes even you have plans in place, but there's a, like an element of self-sabotage. And my tell was, you talked about poker, I'm terrible at playing poker, but my tell when I did a bad trade was, like you say, constantly the phone is coming out all the time, constantly the laptop's coming out to check my position, because I'm thinking, I shouldn't have taken that trade, and I might be, you know, I've got quite a lot of leverage on it, or whatever the case was at the time. That was my tell. And the trades that I knew I should have been taking, or that were in line with my actual strategy and what I decided I should be doing, what I back-tested, those are the trades that I could just forget about almost, because I'd have the parameters set up, I'd have my stop losses in place, trailing stop, whatever the case may be. But my tell was having my phone out all the time and having my laptop out all the time, checking the P&L constantly, because I'm just so nervous about it. And that nervousness, I suppose, being a successful trader in some ways is removing that emotion and trading almost like a robot in a sense, right? But the way I look at it is, the more emotion and the more objective you can be with how you trade, especially when you've got a strategy that you know works and you've tested it, the more you can remove that emotion, the more successful and the more predictable that you can be in your own performance and your own trading.
And what about you, Nick?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I also think trading psychology is, while we just talked about like mechanical things that Christian can choose to do, that's Christian's method, right? That's the thing about trading psychology. It's deeply personal. It's for each person, you know, like for me, it might be different than Christian, for the listener, for every single person, it's sort of a introspective journey to find out like what's the best way to handle yourself. For me, the biggest thing I ever kind of discovered in regards to like really getting more under control with trading psychology was position sizing being very small. And so when I struggled with the swings of P&L or the swings of you know, the 24-hour news cycle, one of the biggest things that I think is a powerful thing to do is to reduce your trade size and to really hone in on taking very low risk and actually focus on the execution of your trades. I think that one of the easiest ways to improve trading psychology, in my experience and personal opinion, is keeping your size small. It allows you to keep a level head. And I think that regardless of how well you prepare, if your risk management is off and your trading size is too big, it'll make the most sane person in the world go mad. So I think that keeping size small, other things like Christian mentioned, like for example, knowing your max number of trades gone wrong in a day, and knowing when to step away from the charts. Another pro tip that I think I've heard many times is to delete the apps off your phone and to only ever use trading platforms on your computer. That way you can't check it on the bus, check it in the car, check it, you know, all day long. So but I do think that the number one thing for me is reducing size, reducing risk to a point that's comfortable for execution for the individual.
Nelly, we're coming towards the end of today's podcast, but I wanted to ask you another question, though, about what you would define as the performance mindset. How do you help people move from a survival mindset to a performance mindset?
Well, I really love what just Nick mentioned about like how we are all different and we are all unique. And I think even when you are talking about like small positions versus like big position, it can be like very different for every single person. So that's what I even like laugh about my work, because everyone is so different and we are all unique. So everyone has totally different experience, and it's kind of psychology of the money as well, right? So when it comes to the performance mindset, I think it's kind of like, if I'm gonna really break it down, you know, it's basically being able to focus on a process rather than the outcome. So even that anxiety and focusing on the apps and, you know, on the P&L all the time, and like being really just anxious and sweating there and impatient about like what is going to happen with your position, that's basically the survival mindset, right? Because what the survival mindset is like you are afraid to lose like so much, you cannot even focus on how to do the procedure the right way. So the performance mindset afterwards is when you are able to kind of like see it more as like data, and even when you are losing, you are just taking it as some sort of like part of the process rather than, you know, something that would really be like a threat to your survivor, if you're gonna really break it down.
Nelly, I love the way you said that, because one thing that came to mind as you were saying it is, if you think about like, this is a model that I think is relevant to that, is like the casino model. A casino takes many, many bets every single day against players, right? And they know that they're going to lose frequently. Like if you're playing a hand of blackjack at a casino or poker or whatever, like the house is in sometimes or some circumstances going to lose money to the player, but they know in the long run that their edge will play out. And there is no conversation about psychology of managers at a casino, because they have an edge and they risk small relative to their bankroll. So I think that's just another way of thinking about it, is like, if your execution, in that case, you're just focused on the execution because your size is small enough, your you know, risk management is tight enough to kind of stay in the game regardless of what happens in the short run. And even if you enter a losing streak, you understand it's part of the process.
Nelly, thank you so much. It's been fascinating getting your insights today, and it would be great to get you back for another episode, because there's plenty more we could discuss. I'm hoping we'll speak to you again very soon.
Same here.
And of course, Trader Nick and Christian, we will speak to you again very soon too. Thanks for listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.